Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Say what you're thinking.
WhatsApp, Google it on 4P.
063-688-0959.
Kaya Biz.
On the street, on the air.
It's good to see a bit of green on the screen. It's good to see a bit of green. You just see all those arrows pointing up. A few reds, but you know, see green arrows is always a good thing. So yeah.
Oh, I love it, Mubulawa. That's Mubulawa there sharing her voice note with us. It's good to see some green on the screen. And I must tell you, we anticipated this yesterday, right? Especially on the back of the halt that's been shared regarding the tariffs that Donald Trump has implemented. Someone else who posts a lot of graphs and charts that I often follow and retweet and reshare and also look to analyze is my next guest, the founder of Just One Lap, Simon Brown, who joins us. He's a well-known investor and trader and has often helped us to decipher the market dynamics in a much more simplified and way that we can understand, especially as retail investors. Simon, so good to touch base with you as always. I can imagine you feel like our listeners as well. Good to see some green on our screen, I guess.
Great to be on the show. I just tweeted out the top five up stocks and top five down stocks in the top 40. Yeah. There were no down stocks. It's nice to have a green day.
Right. That's fantastic, actually. Nice to have a green day. Interesting to see that it is largely dominated by the gold mining houses I do see on the screen as well. And from your tweet, especially the top moves up. But we're going to shift gears and talk about companies that might make use of these commodities in their vehicles. And that's, you know, PGM group metals, catalytic converters into exhaust pipes, and that speaks to cars. A moment ago, we spoke to a representative of We Buy Cars following life after listing independently outside of Transaction Capital. And of course, the big angle we want to focus on as retail investors is show me the money. What do the metrics say? And maybe before we get into those dynamics, just your reflections of this business listing and providing a new opportunity for us as South Africans.
I think it was great. Now, I remember we chatted, it was a year ago, it was around the listing.
Yes.
And at the time, I said, you know, we're seeing vehicle sales surprisingly strong in South Africa, new vehicle sales, and hence the used vehicle market as well. And We Buy Cars' angle is to grow market share. They're doing about, at the last set of results in November, about 14,000 cars a month. That's a big number. By my calculation, that's maybe 12, 14, 15% of total market share.
Sure.
They can, I mean, they would look to double it. And that's their growth strategy. And they really are, and we said this before, Gugu, they've done something which buying a secondhand car or selling a car into the secondhand market was never a particularly fun experience.
Mm.
They've made it simple. And my wife bought a car from them back in Feb, and it really was a painless, simple process and way better than it used to be in the day. And that's what they're doing, and that's how they get market share.
That's true. No longer having to invite strangers into your yard to come and view your car, take it for a test drive, and then run into some issues with them later on. Let's look at the numbers then. If one had to put their money into We Buy Cars a year ago, how much would you have made today?
It's quite a staggering number. It is 92.5% up since the listing a year ago. You've also received a 25-cent dividend. You've made 93%, which to be clear, is in the realm of, I mean, better than Mag 7 after the recent sell-off.
True, exactly. And I think that's important because, as you mentioned, of course, it does speak to the metrics and understanding the long-term ride for the distributor or retailer that is We Buy Cars. And maybe that's another aspect that we do need to bear in mind. This is just a year of listing. And when we typically talk investments, it's a long-term theme. What do we need to keep in mind as retail investors as we continue to do the numbers?
I think that's a great point. When it listed a year ago, it certainly looked cheap. We needed to see some results. We wanted to be sure that what we thought was there was, and it is. So it's up almost 100% in the year. The point is that it's probably now more fairly valued. Mm-hmm. It's on a forward PE, and we're getting fancy with this, of low 20s. For a consumer-facing stock in South Africa, that's a little demanding, but they've got great growth potentials. I think it's much more fairly valued as we sit now. And in fact, the stock has largely been going sideways, notwithstanding the last week of craziness in the market. Mm. The stock's been going sideways pretty much since the results in I think it was 18 November they came out.
Got you. Looking at their numbers, you're quite right. From last year, there's also quite a strong drive just in terms of expansion. Rikus, who we spoke to a moment ago, couldn't go into the numbers as they are in a closed period. But I'm assuming there's a lot of CapEx expenditure we should expect here. Does that mean hold off on the dividend play versus the expansion that we expect management to take going forward?
Dude, I was just running some of the numbers. I mean, the Dome in Joburg, I mean, they must be moving 20, 30, 40 cars a day via that, which means that someone out there is buying 20, 30, 40 cars. It is hugely capital intensive. They do move cars quickly, and that certainly is in their favor. So it's a quick move through process. The question on the dividend is interesting, and we'll get more clarity in time. Do they take profits? Because they will be very cash generative. Do they take those profits and put them back into the business? Do they give some to shareholders? I think they're going to do a bit of both. At the moment, the dividend yield's about 0.5%. I don't think it'll rise a lot, maybe into the 1.25% or so. This is very much a growth story as opposed to dividend. But I think they will give some dividends at the same time.
Got you. It's competitive advantage. In my mind, I'm just thinking of the likes of the business formerly known as Avis, which also has been trying to sell vehicles to the consumer environment.
I think there's a couple. The first is, by reports, they buy almost anything, so they're indiscriminate on that side, which means they have cars across the price brackets. Quality, I mean, I'm not the expert. I don't know about that, but they have the range in that regard. And I think it's brand trust. Yes, there's stories on social media when things go wrong, but mostly people I've spoken to, and as I said, from my wife's experience, it worked. And that's the brand trust. It's the ease of process. Pretty much all of our transaction happened online. It just makes it simple. And it takes, as I said up top, something that wasn't fun and turns it into an experience which is largely frictionless. And that is where they're going to win. And it competes against the small mom and pops and independents who are also geographically challenged. We bought a car from the Western Cape. They moved it to Joburg. That's hard for a small dealer.
Got you on that, and the dynamics and the relationship with the consumer. The company name I was looking for is Zeda, formerly referred to as Avis. I guess as we wrap up, we can't ignore Trump and his noise, and maybe I can take the liberty of showing you this cap on camera. It's the red Make America Great Again. And I looked inside the label, all my colleagues have, and it's actually made in the US. But this is easy with a cap. It's different when it comes to automotives, laptops, electronics, and other themes. And we can't ignore the tariff dynamic. Could that also play into the hands of the We Buy Cars in terms of their positioning and market share in the country?
It's a great question, Gugu, and I think it could. And I think for a couple of reasons. We are seeing more people buy secondhand than new. That's just a trend that's been happening pretty much since the pandemic, and cars are expensive. Yes. So we absolutely do that. I think so. I also think that we are going to see checkups happening in terms of vehicles and the manufacturing and where they're going to be sent to be purchased. But it's going to be... I mean, the shakeup economically and globally is going to be significant, and it's not going away anytime soon. The trick to a large degree is how does the consumer manage it? Mm. We got the Discovery Trend Spend Report 2025 this year. One of the interesting stats was I think about a quarter of respondents were saying they plan to eat out more in 2025. They might not, but it shows some confidence, which I found. Frankly, as someone who's been battered a lot by the markets and interest rates and inflation over the last couple of years, surprising. So we could see some positivity coming through. The Trump tariffs, what happens in 90 days, all of that hangs over. And what markets dislike more than anything is uncertainty. And we are neck deep in uncertainty right now.
Sheesh, how do you compare this to the COVID-19 pandemic and maybe your experience during the global financial crisis?
Oh, Google, I'm old. I'll take you back also to the .com, the 98, and heck, the 1987, although I was a teenager in 87.
Sure.
This one's different. The difference is that in every other crisis, so 87 was just a collapse, a overvaluation and aggressive selling. .com was the same, aggressive selling because valuations had become absolutely crazy. 2008 was a banking crisis, a lending crisis, home loans in the U.S., and the pandemic was a health crisis. In every other circumstance, the world was working to try and resolve it. We had the vaccine in record time. In 2008, we had the Congress approving what was then a giant amount of $785 million to bail out banks. We had the ECB doing similar. We had quantitative easing. In the pandemic, the rush to vaccine. Yeah, the rest of the world is standing back aghast as one administration essentially creates the crisis. And that's the fundamental difference. Every other crisis, there's been a very strong move by everyone you could to try and get through it. This time, we can't because it's one administration. And that sounds overly dark in some ways, but it's a different crisis.
A different crisis. I think that's a good note for us to leave it off on, Simon. And thank you for always teaching us and giving us some insight into the market dynamics and how we need to be positioned as investors. Thank you again for your time.
Google it too. Always my pleasure.
Thanks so much, Simon. Truly, truly appreciate it. That's Simon Brown, founder of Just One Lap, joining us today to give us some insight into We Buy Cars. 1 year post the listing, what's the performance and positioning of the business like? And as you've heard, long-term story, we still need to look into the results and see the outcomes there. Of course, then we'll evaluate how to position ourselves as investors. But lots to consider. And I think Simon left it on a very interesting note there that this particular crisis is a different one because it's literally shaped and fueled by one administration where everyone else around the world isn't working within a united front to say, okay, how do we address the challenge together? We're literally waiting for a president to tweet, share updates, and let us know what his positioning is in terms of global trade. Share your thoughts with us, 063-688-0959. I do see some of your tweets as well on Twitter. I posted a picture of the MAGA cap. Had to get it out of my wardrobe following my trip to the US last year. And I'll show you and tell you where it's actually made and how this slots into the story of how Trump is, quote unquote, trying to make America great again. But at what cost? And is he going about it the right way? We'll build up on this conversation in just a moment.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.